one remark about contact data. Quite a few of you have a telephone number and address of me that's in Bonn, Germany, that is going to stop working really soon now. I'm in the middle of packing up and moving.
Where are you moving to?
Luxembourg.
Okay, well,
it's not that far from here.
Right.
You send us your new contact details, won't you, Thomas?
Will do. Will
good,
do.
Thanks.
It's in fact the second address on my business card. So most of you probably already have it.
New job too?
Yes.
Good.
You'll learn about it.
Okay.
So, Glenn, has anyone else RSVP'd affirmatively?
No, the one who RSVP'd was Nicholas, and he's on the call. Thomas RSVP'd, he's on the call, and... as I say, Mark is missing, Thomas Keller is missing, Maggie's missing. I know that they won't be there. So we are, and David Ferris is also excused himself.
Right.
So from business constituency, perhaps we should get Marilyn.
Marilyn,
And David Maher.
And then maybe Paul Stahura.
And then maybe Paul Stahura, yes.
Right.
And Tony Harris.
Okay, we'll give them one or two more minutes. I'm going to actually put down my phone for about 30 seconds.
Barbara may be a bit late.
Okay, I'm going to be right back. Okay, I'm back. Well, I haven't had anyone join for a couple minutes, so why don't we just go ahead and start with the limited participation that we have. Thanks, those of you that have joined the call for joining. And we are going to, the agenda today is to revisit the topics from our first two calls, which are the sort of notice and consent topic, as well as the conflict with national law topic, and I think probably we'll deal with them in that order. So why don't we jump straight into the notice and consent topic? I know that we've had a fair bit of discussion about this on the list over the past couple of days. And I think that we have even some proposed language from David Maher, but we don't have David Maher. So why don't we just, we seem to be bogging down around the issue of whether we need to, whether or not our recommendation should encompass just making sure that we improve the notice that registrars are providing, or whether we also are improving the manner in which they gain consent. I think other than that, we're something approaching consensus on the rest of the recommendation. So maybe I know that we've had some people here commenting on that. Maybe I just would try to open this up for some discussion on the topic of whether or not the recommendation should include a discussion of consent, or whether it's sufficient just to notify and have registrants acknowledge that they received notice of the policy, as opposed to necessarily consenting to it. Although noting that nothing that we do here or nothing in the recommendation is intended to alter the registrar's obligations to obtain consent that already exists.
Hi, it's Marilyn. Sorry, I'm late.
Hi, Marilyn. So does anyone want to speak to this? I know we've had some discussion on the list.
Can you repeat what you said since Marilyn just joined us?
Yeah, sure. The question is, we're talking about the idea that has been discussed on the list of whether or not our recommendation should focus around improving notice to registrants of sort of what their data will be used for, or whether we should improve both notice and consent for the registrars for the use of the WHOIS data. And we've had some arguments that it's sufficient just to improve the consent, and some people are saying just to improve the notice, and we've also had people saying that we ought to be improving the way that registrars get consent as well.
I have a question about that last item, but before I do that, I know somebody else just joined. So.
Yes, Barbara just joined the call.
Hi, Barbara.
And sorry to be late, but for Barbara and I, could you just tell us who's on the call, George?
Yeah, sure. We have Steve Metallis, Nicholas, Milton Mueller, Thomas, Marilyn, Barbara, and Glenn.
I have a question about that I really don't quite understand, so I'm just seeking clarification at this point. The in terms of talking about, quote, improving consent, what do people think that embodies? I have a pretty good understanding of what I think improving notice would mean, particularly because there was a huge amount of work done on that on the previous task force, and, you know, we heard from a lot of people in the public comment period in the previous task force about notice, and we've talked about it ourselves, but I'm seeking clarification of what people mean when they say that what improving consent would mean.
Well, I agree with you, Marilyn, on that. I don't know what it means either, and I think that's why it should be decoupled from the notification issue, that the notification really has what was indeed an issue we discussed in the first round, and that we shouldn't mix that up with the consent issue. You can ask them for, you can give them notification, and you don't need to raise the issue of consent at this juncture at all. I mean, it's already in the contract, right?
That was what I was thinking, is that it's in the contract.
This is Steve Metallis. The two are inevitably linked. I mean, that's, you're giving people notice and for the purpose of obtaining their consent. That's what the contract.
Tony Harris joining.
And also in Task Force 2, if you look at the recommendations that came out in that work, it's the first compliance with the notification and consent requirement should be part of the overall plan to improve registrar compliance.
Steve. But that's what
let me just finish, Marilyn.
Yeah.
Task Force 2 also recommended that ICANN issue an advisory reminding registrars of the importance of compliance, even registrars operating primarily in countries in which local law apparently does not require registrant consent to be obtained. And this is in response to the information we got from several registrars, that said, we don't obtain consent because we don't need to under our law. And then the third point was to encourage development of best practices that will improve the effectiveness of giving notice to and obtaining consent from domain name registrants. So I think they are kind of linked together, and so I'm not sure
if
decoupling them. I understand the argument for that, since it's already in the registrar agreement, but I think they kind of logically go together.
Yeah, Steve, I wasn't thinking about decoupling them as much as wanting to understand what the actions would be that we would address in improving consent. because it is in the registrar agreement, so I assume that actually the registrars need to do it. So the question I think would be, how could we contribute to what improving consent would mean? That's what I'm... So... because I think just giving note, I understand the point that if we're seeking to improve notice, the registrars are required to obtain consent in the existing agreements that they sign.
Yeah, I mean, this is Jordan. I think that really what this discussion boils down to, I think, is, David Maher made a recommendation over the weekend, I think, or on Friday, and, with 3 points, and really the difference is only on one of his points is whether or not, to go back to sort of new language that Milton drafted, David said that, let me read both paragraphs so everyone can get it. David wrote, registrars must obtain a separate acknowledgement from registrants that they have read, understood, and consented to these disclosures. And Milton writes, registrars must obtain a separate acknowledgement from registrants that they have read and understood these disclosures.
I'm sorry, would you read the first one again?
Sure. It just includes the word consent. Registrars must obtain a separate acknowledgement from registrants that they have read, understood, and consented to these disclosures, whereas Milton's language just says read and understood these disclosures.
Yeah, and let me just refer back to the Task Force 2 statement, because I think Steve may be... is misreading the intent of that. If you'll recall, the reason we're talking about conspicuous notice now as opposed to something else is that was considered to be low-hanging fruit in our wonderful metaphor given to us by Bruce. And if you look at the Task Force 2 Recommendation 3, there is a heading called Notification and Consent. And A and B of that section has to do with advisories reminding registrars of importance of compliance with this consent, and the first two sections deal indeed with consent, but that apparently was not deemed to be low-hanging fruit. What was deemed to be low-hanging fruit was C of that report, which reads, and if you don't mind, I'll just read it, encourage development of best practices that will improve the effectiveness of giving notice to and obtaining consent from domain name registrants with regard to uses of registrant contact data, such as by requesting that GNSO commence a policy development process or other procedure with a goal of developing such best practices. Okay, so Maryland is in effect correct that we are mandated to improve the effectiveness of giving notice to and obtaining consent from. And I agree with her that I know how to improve the effectiveness of giving notice. I have no idea what it means to improve the effectiveness of obtaining consent from, but I don't know, how that would be achieved on a consensual basis as a low-hanging fruit item that we could agree on quickly. So why don't we just play nice and improve the notice and defer the issue of improving consent, which... none of us seems to know what it really means.
But Milton, I don't want to be interpreted as saying I'm agreeing to
David
defer.
David Maher joining late.
I don't want to be interpreted as saying I'm agreeing to defer it by asking a question. David, we should bring you up to date.
Yeah, they were actually in the midst of discussing the nuanced change to your recommendations on improving the notice and or consent to registrants, and specifically the change that Milton proposed to your number 3,
which is removal of the words
the word consent.
Consented.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Steve Metallich. Could I get back in the queue?
Yeah, why don't we create a queue. Steve, anyone else want to speak?
After Steve.
Sure,
David.
Yeah, and I want to be back in the queue.
Marilyn. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Okay.
Paul Stahura has joined.
Hi, Paul.
We're kind of kind of in the discussion now about trying to understand what improving the obtaining of consent means. And I don't think this is that difficult. I think that when people have notification, and they're more likely to be giving informed consent rather than uninformed consent if they're just clicking on a box that covers, where there is pages and pages of verbiage. They are more likely to be informed if they are asked separately on this particular issue to consent to a particular practice. So I think the two really go together. It's hard for me to see how they don't go together, and I think approving the obtaining of consent means making sure, to the extent we can, that people are better informed about what they're consenting to. I don't think this is that difficult to understand, and it's kind of surprising to me that there is such resistance to this.
Yeah, can I get in the queue?
Okay, so David, Marilyn, and then Milton.
My view on this is I think it's in a way too bad that we're spending this much time on the issue, because I believe that compelling consent is wrong. In a better world, and if someday we can revise the requirements that ICANN imposes, I think people should be given options as to whether or not they consent. In the meantime, though, our task is to come up with a conspicuous notice requirement, and it seems to me that to do that, moving forward, we should limit ourselves to the conspicuous notice aspect, and that's what this is designed to do. My reason for leaving in the words "and consented to" was simply to reflect the existing situation, which admittedly is a very bad one. So those are my views.
Thanks, David. Marilyn?
Well, I'm just going to raise a point that I've made at previous times, and we constantly reference who is as though it is always about individuals, and that's not the case, of course. Is it impossible for this group to consider that we could improve consent, but also recommend that the registrars advise registrants of the availability of anonymizing services? If they chose not to be published, that they could be referred to evaluate for themselves whether they wanted to use an anonymizing service?
That's an interesting question. Milton?
Yeah, I think the perspective that David articulated was pretty much what's motivating my attempt to get those words out. It is not so much that we're not really improving consent. In fact, there's a debate here to be had about whether there's any consent, even with better notification. And I'm just proposing that, yes, under the current registrar contract, there's no way around the fact that registrants are being forced to consent to the conditions because they have no alternative. But what we're dealing with in David's recommendation is a success metric. Okay, so point three was they need to obtain a separate acknowledgement from registrants that they have read and understood these disclosures. I don't understand why, since consent is already part of the contract, why you need a separate acknowledgement that they've consented to them. That's my point. Why, Steve, to put it a little more colorfully, why do you want to rub our noses in this? I think you just need to step back a bit here, understand that the contract pretty much does what you want. What we're trying to do now is not only improve notice, but define a success metric. And to define a success metric, we need a separate acknowledgement, or at least David thinks we does, and most of us seem to agree. But why would you need two acknowledgments that they've consented to them if they already are consenting under the terms of the contract?
Yeah, this is Jordan. I'm going to jump in for just a moment and say that it seems to me that by providing the explicit sort of acknowledgement that you've read those terms, and then if you are also agreeing to the agreement as a whole, then you are agreeing to those terms that you've explicitly called out. I mean, you are consenting them, essentially, if you later consent to the agreement as a whole. Seems like we're getting a little bogged down here in something where it would be maybe more productive to look at David's recommendations as a whole, as a way of moving forward. And it seems whether registrars use language that says that I've read and acknowledge versus I've read, acknowledged, and agree to this particular privacy policy seems to make no difference from a, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but it seems that they're bound by the terms anyways. We're just trying to make sure that they know about it as a matter of public policy.
It's Paul Stahura. Does that mean they need to agree twice?
Well, that's the point, Paul. That's why I'm saying I don't see the point of those words about consent in David's success metric. If they are agreed. I just think that it's just rubbing our noses in something that we just don't.
Jordan, can I get in the queue?
This is Steve. Could I get in the queue also?
Yeah, Marilyn and
Thomas.
And then Thomas.
Am I up?
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
I'm going to make two points. One is I really would like to propose that we all make an extra effort to be respectful of each other in the language that we use. I find it more productive to work in such an environment. And I know we're not going to always be in agreement as we work through this next phase, so I will certainly do my best to do that. I'm wondering if I could propose, rather than our continuing to debate this, a compromise with a suggestion that if Steve and others who might agree with him could reserve the right to come back to this discussion, but that we undertake part A, at least, of the work, perhaps on this topic, being improving consent and reserving improving notice and reserving the option to come back to further discussion. I'm going to really make an effort myself not to use inflammatory words like debate or arguments, but discussion about obtaining consent.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. We'll see what Steve thinks of that right now.
Well, first let me respond to the question Milton posed. This is not rubbing anybody's nose in anything. This is reflecting the fact that registrars told us they are not obtaining consent. They are not asking for consent from registrants, and that's not what the contract provides, and the focus here in Task Force 2 was on improving compliance with notification and consent. I mean, it doesn't make much sense to be notifying people about something. You know, what is that, just FYI, or is it because, when you consent, you should know what you're consenting to, or you should explore your alternatives, which are many. There are many alternatives that people have available to if they don't want to consent to these particular practices. Now, having said that, I'm not sure that it makes too much sense to defer the issue of improving consent, because I think the two are kind of linked here. But in the spirit of trying to move on, I would be prepared to make the change, to accept the change in David's language that Milton has proposed. I guess I would want to know what David thought about that, too. And on the success metric, as I pointed out, I think in my posting, I don't think the success metric in this really is very meaningful. But again, I'm prepared to accept this as long as there's some opportunity for the IPC to say, and others may agree, that since our recommendation calls for registrars to do A, B, and C, the best success metric is to find out whether registrars are or are not doing A, B, and C. Again, I think this is pretty straightforward, but if we can't get consensus on it, we'll proceed on that too.
Thanks, Steve. Thomas?
I'm not entirely sure if I understood everything Steve said. It was at times a little hard to follow. Anyway, let me just make one point here. I would separate new policy, which is what we are doing right now, from attempts to enforce existing policy. What we are dealing with here is a proposed change that says not just give notice, but make it separate, make it so and so, include the text. This goes into much more detail than current policy. It's an extension of policy. On consent, what Steve argued was enforcement of existing policy, and I would keep that strictly separate. I think it is one message to say enforce existing policy. It's a different message to say here's a new policy, and it takes up the following elements from the old policy that gives new and fresh life to old policy, which some of us at least may believe should be changed. And I think that this is a kind of recommendation that should not come out of the staff. So please keep enforcement and new policy separate. New policy is the part without and consented. Adding the words and consented in there would mangle in enforcement, and I think it would send a signal that quite a few of us don't want to send.
I need to get back in the queue.
Okay. Marilyn, anyone else?
Yeah, I just would have a one-sentence comment.
And Steve Metallis also.
Okay, let's try to keep these brief because I do want to move on. Go ahead, Marilyn.
If I understood what Thomas said, I can't support the idea that we would be eradicating existing policy by creating new policy. In order to change existing policy, the policy has to be thoroughly, we have to go through a complete PDP process, including getting a terms of reference and issues report and all those kinds of things, and authority to do that from the council. That's not what I thought we were doing, and I do think that the policy that we are working on has to be based on existing policy.
I think we are in violent agreement.
Okay, Milton?
Yes, a violent agreement, although those words may be too inflammatory. So I will just say that, as I understood it, Steve said that he was willing to accept the amendment I proposed, and I appreciate that, and I think that will make a difference going forward, and we should go on.
Yeah, thanks, Milton. Steve?
Yeah, I think Thomas made a good point, and I would like to suggest that we just add a sentence here that says this recommendation is without prejudice to enforcement of existing policy.
Well, yeah, that would assuage your concerns. I would have no objection to that.
I would have no objection. The only concern being that usually no new policy, that the sentence basically applies to all new policy that is made unless it explicitly says old policy X is given up. So this may create false impressions of future policies. I just see it as a little risky as a precedent, but I don't have objections to substance, really, just that it should be understood by itself and would not be necessary to make it explicit.
Well, that may be, but because we've had this discussion, perhaps it would be clearer to people reading our recommendation just to spell it out. It would be without prejudice to the enforcement of existing policies.
Yeah, I think it's not entirely unusual for recommendations to indicate whether or not they supersede old things. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's not. So here we can just be explicit. Okay, so let me actually take from that, it seems like we've got some agreement around the language, at least for number three. Let me just ask if everyone on this call at least is happy with the David's language as amended, by Milton with the Second Amendment by Steve to add the language about prejudice. But in any case, basically David Maher's recommendations from Friday for the conspicuous notice. I know that we, in the past, this has touched on points that Paul, you've been a little concerned about, so I want to see if we've overcome that hurdle for you or if we still have issues there.
Can you read the whole thing?
Oh. Okay, let me read David's recommendation.
Changes, but I'd like to hear what the version is we're talking.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so the recommendation is, there's three. First is that registrars must ensure that disclosures regarding availability and third-party access to personal data associated with domain names actually be presented to registrants during the registration process. Linking to an external web page is not sufficient. Number two, registrars must ensure that these disclosures are set aside from other provisions in the registration agreement if they are presented to registrants together with that agreement. Alternatively, registrars may present data access disclosures separate from the registration agreement. And number three, registrars must obtain a separate acknowledgement from registrants that they have read and understood these disclosures.
So does that mean they have to click twice? One to agree to the registration agreement, one to agree that they've read this other thing? Or can it be one agreement?
Paul, it's Marilyn. Can I ask why that's a problem, since many existing services ask the consumer to click more than once just to make sure they have read things?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me that they're agreeing twice. Why can't they just agree to one thing once? It's going to be a large practicality, in my opinion.
Paul, there's a lot of situations in which policy or regulatory authorities are trying to make a point and they require a separate acknowledgement of one particular aspect of a contract or another, or in going through a domain name registration experience, my experience has been that there are lots of little boxes you click.
Could it then be a checkbox? You may be misunderstanding it. Can it be like, here's the registration agreement, kind of at the bottom, there's an unchecked checkbox next to some text that says, I also read this thing and I understand it.
Yeah, there would be a big, all caps, screaming, red, flaming letters that says,
by checking this box, I read this rest of it and I agree to everything.
So by checking this box, I've read and understood these particular notification provisions.
And then they click submit. It includes the checkbox.
And then at the end, you have I accept the contract.
Okay, I follow that. I'm okay with that.
And so this would be the recommendation we put forward. There would probably be an implementation team that would do more detailed work on language, or we would actually be providing sort of guiding principles.
I think that's important because it's an important detail as a registrar. Implementation of it.
Mm-hmm.
One is, we have, in ENAB's case, there's a lot of resellers. We have to get them all to come
right.
To us.
Right.
And some of them are, large companies.
So, Paul, am I getting from that you would prefer that we have some more language around this to flesh out the implementation some more, even before it gets to an implementation team?
That would be nice, so at least we're clear on it. I wasn't clear just then, so it'd be nice.
Yeah, maybe, a simple way to do this might be just to provide some examples, perhaps, of, a little bit of text describing some scenarios that might be illustrative, but in order to at least help the implementation team understand the intent of the task force. Okay, I guess that sounds like a good idea. So does anyone, Paul, do you want to try to if you're concerned about this, do you have the time to try to draft up maybe some text around that to provide an illustrative example or examples to help people understand what this is all about?
I wish I did have the time. I guess I could try.
Question, Jordan?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm assuming that this task force actually writes the conspicuous notice language. Is that correct?
This task force will write, we could leave the recommendation as it stands, or we could add more detail to it. I think that's up to us. So if we wanted to write the language, we certainly could do that.
Another possibility might be that we would identify some examples of conspicuous notice that are already out there and come up with principles and ask the legal counsel of ICANN to provide some input.
For example, you know, if somebody is buying 100 names, does he have to do it 100 times, or can he just do it, you know, the agreement checkbox for all 100?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's
in terms of the policy implications here, I would be very concerned that the notification covers particular areas. I'm not against having the ICANN Council draft a proposal to us and send it to us, but I would like to be able to add things to it or take things out.
This is Steve Metallitz. I don't think there are other instances in which, or there may be other instances in which particular language is dictated by ICANN for registrar contracts, and are we going to translate this into the different languages that registrars might use? I'm just wondering whether this is really a practical thing for this task force to do, or whether the registrars would prefer to have some flexibility.
Steve, I think that we have discussed in the task forces before the need for some consistency. I recall we talked about the need for consistency in language and the deletes and transfers language. So I think that, in fact, there is something of a precedent here. And the reason for that was in order to prevent gaming of the system or confusion of the registrant.
Yeah, as a user constituency, I really want to see what people are being told.
Well, we can see what people are being told now, and that's kind of what motivated this, was that we found that virtually none of the larger registrars, anyway, were actually having people consent or were separating this out. They were just subsuming it in a much larger user agreement. And that was the problem, I think, that was identified. But whether they would necessarily have to change the language that they're now using, which might vary from registrar to registrar, or whether they would simply have to change how it was presented, I think it's more the latter, isn't it?
It seems like it's possible. It seems like some of the language would have to be common, and other language could be different. And then I would like to answer to my question, if there was a high-volume purchaser that's purchasing 100 names, does he have to consent each name individually, or can he do them all in one big shot?
Well, Paul, I don't think we can give you an answer, and I think it's a valid question that we should ask, and that is, should there be bulk agreements? Should the registrant be able to say, I choose to sign a bulk agreement or to waive to consent to this for all the names listed on the attached document.
Why wouldn't there be a bulk agreement?
I'm not questioning it one way or the other, Milton. I just said it's a question that we should discuss. I would ask Barbara to take a small work item, however, and that is to review the deletes and transfers. I think it's pretty easy to look at the previous work and the recommendations and see what was done and what role the ICANN staff played in providing advice on language there, if any.
I'll look at that. I think we're in a somewhat different situation these days than we were at that time. And
Barbara, we can't hear. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Brother's getting a lot of echo here.
Yes, just started about 5 minutes ago.
That's because I took myself off of mute. When I'm on mute, you don't get the echo. So just accept that I will look into what we did for deletes and transfers.
Great.
And come up with a recommendation.
And maybe you could just post to the group on that.
Yeah, I think that would be useful. So let me summarize, I think, where we stand on this, which is that I think it sounds like at least David's sort of base recommendations were in fairly good agreement with the two amendments, one made by Milton to remove the language, the word consent, and the other added by Steve to indicate that it doesn't change the enforcement of the existing policy on consent. But from there, it sounds like I get the feel from the task force that we do have some additional work that needs to be done in terms of perhaps adding some detail, and that may go as far as specifying language, or it may just be providing some illustrative examples of how the policy might be implemented, and or consulting with the general counsel or some counsel at ICANN in order to get language and perhaps to be reviewed by the task force as well. I would suggest that we wait for some illustrative language from Paul, hopefully, or whoever else, as well as Barbara's findings on what previous task forces did, and then continue some on-list discussion, because it seems like we're fairly close in terms of at least what the recommendations need to be, and if necessary, we can have another call around these closer to implementation issues. But I think at least we have a strong foundation in terms of the direction of the policy. So if that's all right, I'm going to actually now move the conversation to the second topic of this call, which is the national law topic. And I'm trying to figure out what the latest I know we've had some discussion on list.
I think that, Jordan, this is Steve.
Yeah.
I think the latest thing that I saw was that Tom Keller had suggested a change to the draft that I had prepared.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. You're right. Unfortunately, Tom's not here to talk through those.
Could I just say, I've looked at his, I have a question or two about it, but I think we may be on the same page on this. I just had some questions about how he had phrased some of these things, and it wasn't that clear to me. So,
sure. The question's for Tom, presumably.
Yeah, it is. And since he's not on the call,
right?
Maybe he and I could just try to communicate later today or tomorrow, and see if we can come to agreement on language, which we may be able to.
Sure, and I see also that Mark has weighed in. He's not on the call, but I wonder, Milton is. I mean, Mark's basically saying, taking a farther, a more extreme version. I don't want to use inflammatory language, sorry.
Says we need a completely different approach. But
yes, exactly.
Not quite sure what it is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Is that a position that coming out of the non-commercial constituency that
yes,
you'll be able to speak to?
Yes, unfortunately, it is. We find Steve's step-by-step to be quite lopsided, and we're surprised that the registrars are not more concerned about it. We would be concerned about a number of things. For example, giving the general counsel basically unilateral authority to basically blow off the notification, the delay of the process, which is the concern that Thomas had which I don't think his own amendment really addresses. We think that we're pretty far away from an acceptable step-by-step process here. We need to maybe get some alternative approaches on the table and compare them.
Do you have ideas about alternative approaches?
We do have some ideas, but I'm trying to rely on basically people with more legal experience, particularly in the registrar industry, to cook something up for us. And they're just, you know, unfortunately I can't order them to do these things on a particular schedule. It's volunteer labor. So I understand that we need to move along on this, but I think we need at least one alternative approach before we do anything more with Steve's. And Steve's is well thought out. I think it's a consistent approach. It's just, in terms of its policy implications, the assumption is that the national law is subordinate to ICANN's general counsel, which we think that's problematical.
Jordan, I want to make a more general statement. Can I? I am working on scheduling some other meetings at ICANN in Cape Town, and so I have a sense of what's going on in terms of the agenda. You guys, the task force chairs, have been invited to brief the council this coming Thursday on the status of the task forces.
Yeah.
Council is planning on holding a public comment period, as well as meetings of the task forces privately with just working sessions, I should say, not private. So there's a plan to have working sessions and then a plan to have public, take public comment. Where does this task force think, this combined task force think it's going to be in terms of work product?
Yeah, this is an important question, actually, because Bruce actually had dropped Jeff and I an email last night asking what policy recommendations we might have for the council by Cape Town. And so maybe actually, I think it sounds like we're not quite ready to have a conversation on the national law topic, both because there's some ongoing questions between Steve and Tom, and Tom's not here, and whatever concerns the non-commercial constituency may have. So why don't we use this as an opportunity then to discuss where we think we'll be in terms of work product. It seems to me that we have a good chance of having recommendations for the notification topic by Cape Town. It seems that depending on whether or not we settle on the approach advocated by Steve and amended by Tom, that basically mirrors the recommendations of Task Force 2, that we may be ready to make a recommendation there by Cape Town. But if we do go off in a different direction, obviously that seems less likely. So I'll actually ask the task force how important we think it is to produce results, or do we think that a rethinking on this topic is worth the potential delay, beyond the Cape Town meeting in terms of a work product?
And I need to interject before the task force responds, just wearing my counselor hat for a minute. It's not quite as simple as the task force just decides, because we are in a difficult situation in that we have a PDP which we're not complying with in terms of time. And council really needs to suspend the PDP, but to put more realistic time frames in place. We haven't suspended the PDP, and so, we still need to figure out as councilors how we're going to deal with that. I've proposed a couple of times that we do that, but we need realistic time estimates from the task forces to be able to then modify, you know, put forward a modification of the PDP over that particular topic.
Yeah, Marilyn, yeah. I agree with that, actually, that we it is important that we provide good guidance, at least, to the council. And if there are reasons for delay, I think they need to be articulated. The one difference I would say with this combined task force as to some of the previous ones, the previous task force 1, 2, 3, is that here our charter is a little bit, I guess, less obvious than it was in the first round of task forces, and we don't seem, I don't know where this sort of meta task force fits within the realm of the PDP. So I feel a little less bound to the PDP process than I did on the last go round. I don't know whether rightly or wrongly.
That would not be my view as a counselor. I think that we are still, but remember, we've sort of acted as though we were suspending, even though we didn't take that formal action. So, you know, all of the task forces.
Yeah, no, correct. I mean, but this task force 1 and 2 wasn't even technically rechartered under the PDP, right? So, we don't even exist really, according to the PDP.
That may hamper our decision-making process. We don't really exist. Maybe that'll make it easier.
Yeah.
But if the task force feels it's not going to recommend policy, it needs to come to grips with that and make that decision and take a consensus vote on it or a vote of some kind and present that to the council.
Yeah, I do agree with that. We do need to provide guidance to the council as to our progress and the likely outcomes, at the very least, by Cape Town.
Yeah, well, I think we're still almost 2 months away from Cape Town, and I think, as I said, we'll have an alternative on the table fairly soon, and maybe we could just defer this step by step to the next teleconference.
Well, I guess I'm open to doing that if we have an agreement that there's not going to be a further delay and we make a decision that we do have an alternative proposal and we make a decision on how we're going to move forward, whether it's evaluate both of them or choose one. As long as we can do that by the next call and it's done in a timely manner, we actually don't have a full 2 months because we have to post, or we should be posting before Cape Town.
You're right.
So,
but we do have a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have roughly a month. So let me just look, in looking at the calendar right now, it seems that another discussion of the national law topic is in order to sort of either review alternatives and figure out a path forward or refine the existing approach. But in any case, I'd like to give us, you know, some time to digest whatever path that is prior to Cape Town. So let me just take a look here. Milton, let me backtrack 1 second. We have, in terms of scheduling calls, you know, there also may be need for discussion on the topic we're not covering on this call, which is the sort of tiered access stuff. And the question is whether do we want to schedule another call, the next call on the national law topic, or if we want to return to the tiered access, which I think was the original plan, was to have the next call after this to be back on the tiered access topic.
I would say that my reading is that, unfortunately, tiered access, nothing is going to happen before Cape Town, so that we should schedule the next call on the national law topic and try to get something ready for Cape Town.
Yeah, okay. I think that's quite reasonable. So why don't we then plan on the next call being on the national law topic? And can we? Is it reasonable to have that call a week from today?
I would favor that.
Okay. Does that sound good? Can everyone else on this call at least, which is not a huge chunk of the task force, do it?
Yeah, that would be the 26th.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
The 26th?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But, Jordan, we need to do more work assignments on conspicuous notice, too, between now and then, right?
Yes, there is. Well, so we have two direct action items on conspicuous notice, but you're right. From there, we're going to some additional work is going to stem as well.
Okay.
But we'll see if we can handle some of that on the list, but we may need to schedule additional call time as well, depending on the outcome of Barbara's findings and the initial examples that we come up with.
So the report you could make on Thursday is just the revised work plan and the fact we're not going to be dealing with tiered access. But I don't want to leave that on the floor here. I think that tiered access was something that we had agreed to do more work on. Are we saying we're not going to do any work on it until after Cape Town, or because we would have to ask for a rechartering of the task force in terms of time?
Yeah, I'd like to see us do. I think Milton's right that we're not going to, unfortunately, be able to have a work product on tiered access by Cape Town. So I think it probably would be productive to have another call or some further discussion on tiered access prior to Cape Town, and perhaps use the meeting opportunities in Cape Town to have some broader discussion within the community on the topic as well, since it seems to be a little more contentious and a little perhaps more demanding of community input.
Well, maybe. I thought we were also going to talk about experts, and perhaps I missed that part of the discussion.
I think we certainly, I know topics came up during the last, unfortunately I wasn't on the last call, I apologize for that, but I know topics like IRIS and CRISP did come up where, some expert input might be necessary. As others have indicated, there may be, there may be places where other types of expert input is needed. Are you suggesting, Marilyn, that maybe we should have a discussion on that specific topic over the next few ensuing weeks?
I think we ought to buckle down and identify criteria for experts and identify some experts. There's, I've missed a number of calls, but on some of the calls I've been on, we keep meandering around we mean to do it. We should probably do it if we're gonna try to use experts to advise us. I don't think we ought to go into Cape Town with an open forum on, do you like tiered access, do you not like tiered access. I think that's a waste of the community's time and doesn't reflect well on the task force. If we are committed to our job, then we ought to, fine-tune it and get maybe a more organized way of looking at it, which might be I'm just brainstorming here, but it might be a just pros and cons of tiered access.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
I support that, Tony Harris. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't want to presuppose, in the 5 minutes we have here, sort of discuss, how we might use Cape Town to get input from the community, if at all. I guess, the point that I'm making is simply that we're unlikely to have solid recommendations that are ready for council action by Cape Town.
Right.
And we need to, recognizing that, we do need to come up with an alternate strategy for it, and as well as request some additional time from council, perhaps, and think about how to use Cape Town. So I would propose perhaps maybe the week after next we could have another call to discuss the tiered access, maybe with a mindset of continuing to of refining, what use of experts we might make along with you know, how we might use Cape Town effectively, and generally delving a little bit more into some of the narrower topics that we've agreed might be more productive to move the tiered access discussion along.
So Jordan, why don't we work online to address three questions? Ideas on how to use Cape Town effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Identification of criteria for experts and nomination or identification of experts in categories that people think would be needed.
Right. And so are you suggesting in Category 2 criteria includes the categories? I mean, because we haven't really identified at this point the categories, much as...
Okay, so what I could envision proposing online would be that I think that a security expert should be included. And that would be a category. And then I would suggest brainstorming here. Patrick Falstrom, Steve Balaban, John Clemson, as possible, Jeff Houston as possible names. I'm not saying they all fit in the category of security,
right? I think that the immediate concern obviously is to define those categories and see specifically how they answer some of the narrower questions that we've agreed to try to answer on tiered access in the short term. In order to move that discussion along. So I think there are some things. Why don't I do this? I'll endeavor to put together some topics that we can discuss on list. I think I'll
Great.
Derive those from those that you've just suggested and give us some additional work to do on the list. But I think if we pencil in maybe a call in a couple of weeks to have some discussion on the topic as well, you might find that to be productive.
Yeah. I have a favor to ask, and that is that we not meet on the 2nd, but potentially meet on the 3rd. The 2nd is U.S. Election Day. I apologize about that inconvenience for others, but it's not a day that I would be able to participate.
Yeah, the 3rd would be okay with me. What others on this call? At the same time slot, 11 a.m. Eastern time.
What are you running for, Marilyn? Just kidding.
I'm trying to make sure we have the right president, Milton.
We might actually agree on that one. Now, remember, electioneering is against the law, and we all know how persuasive you can be.
Okay, so does the third? Anyone have problems with the 3rd of November at 11 a.m. Eastern?
I have a problem, but I will try to clear that.
Okay.
Both days are bad for me, so I can't complain. I'll be in Oxford probably on the 3rd. I'll be traveling.
Is the 4th better?
I have another telephone call scheduled for the 4th, but let me see. Yeah, and it's coming in at right at the same time as ours usually does. So it's 1 o'clock. So the 4th would be better for me, but
Steve,
does that resolve your conflict?
I'll check that. I'm traveling on the 4th, but I don't remember exactly when I'm traveling.
Okay, why don't we tentatively say the 4th? I'll throw that out on the list, and if a better day arises, then we'll perhaps try to rally around that.
But our next meeting is still the 26th.
The next meeting is definitely on the 26th.
At 11 a.m.
Pardon?
At 11 a.m.
At 11 a.m., yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, except not for you.
Yeah, for you.
Exactly.
You're on Luxembourg standard.
And so, next week we will discuss the national law topic, and the following week we'll be back to tiered access. And in the meantime, on tiered access at least, I will put together a list of topics that hopefully we can start to discuss on list.
Great.
Great. Okay. Well, I think that will that wraps up this call. Once again, we've got some work off of each of the topics we discussed today, so I'm hoping that we'll continue to be productive on the list, and I'll talk to you there and talk to all of you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.